This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Chris Tamucci, Director of Operations at Big Agnes. Chris, hi.
Hi.
Chris, can you tell us a little about Big Agnes, what type of business you are, your scale, and where you are in your life cycle?
Big Agnes is a wholesale distributor of camping gear, so we have our own brand of sleeping bags and tents and sleeping mats, now sold all over the world. Started in 2001, and by about 2006 or so, we started selling outside of North America, and as that portion of the business continues to rapidly grow. We're fortunate to have always been growing since our inception in 2001, but certainly the last, since about 2007 or so, the last decade has really picked up and been kind of hold on to your seat.
Can you make a comment about the kind of size of business you are?
We're privately held, not specifically, but we're one of the top selling in our categories for tents in the United States. We're one of, if not the top selling tent within our competition. We don't sell tents at Walmart for $150. That's not our business. But when you get into specialty tents at somewhere like REI, almost no one in the U.S. sells more tents and sleeping bags than we do.
And we're here at Sweetworld today, so you're a Sweetworld customer, but you must have faced challenges and you must have had systems before NetSuite. What took you on that journey from your 2001 early days through to NetSuite?
We're a good poster child for any ERP. We're that classic example of we're really growing and we probably waited 2 years too long to really make the decision to go with something more robust to support the business. We were doing the typical mix of QuickBooks and Excel and trying to make QuickBooks into a CRM, which is not. And so we were doing all those things. And by about going into 2011, the wheels were starting to come off the bus a little bit from the business process side, specifically in the operations side. Business was going very well. Supporting it in the background was getting more and more difficult. In 2011, we embarked on that journey and went through the ERP selection process and ultimately ended on NetSuite. But yeah, perhaps we waited a little too long.
What was that selection process? What other software did you look at?
I have to remember those days a little bit, but certainly some of the standards, Microsoft Dynamics. SAP at the time had a mid-market offering called Business by Design, which I don't believe that particular product is still on the market. Perhaps Epicor was also in that running. And then NetSuite. Microsoft Dynamics and Epicor dropped off pretty quickly in that selection process, and it came down to SAP Business by Design and NetSuite. And for us, being a small privately held company with not a huge depth of experience there, our technical staff, myself as director of operations, I also, IT rolls up to me, and we have a network manager at the time, but we didn't have developers on staff and a lot of that expertise in-house. So we were looking for something that was agile, customizable, but also simple for us, simple to implement, simple to manage. That was some of our biggest criteria. We had our core business processes that we knew we were trying to solve for and making fulfillment, kind of bringing everything into a holistic view for the business. But I think the simplicity and customization was really important to us. And that's where a couple of those other packages and offerings started falling off the list pretty quickly. As I remember, if I remember correctly, we were pretty set that we were going with Business by Design. Then we got into the real heart of the demo phase, and even where NetSuite's UI was in 2011 when they were demoing it to us, the ease of customization, everything, it's really all of a sudden we went through a series of demos with both packages, and we were almost remiss. We were hesitant to make a change because we were so far down the road going in one direction, but we really had to stop and say, you know what, this seems like it's going to be better for us, for where we are in our talent, and so we made a pivot and went in the direction of NetSuite.
And how did that implementation, when you came to do it, look like?
I didn't mention this earlier. We actually have two companies that are separate legal entities. There's no parent company. The other one's name is Honey Stinger, and it's sports nutrition for athletes, protein bars and gels for runners. So we have these two companies that we're looking at solving the same issues for at the same time. And of course, like I said, we waited too long. So once we made the decision and signed, we said, great, we want it up and running as quick. How quickly can we do this? We need to do this as quickly as possible. We signed in September, and our fiscal year mirrors the calendar year, so we wanted to be totally on the new system by Jan 1. For NetSuite's first, they had what they called their accelerated implementation package, but they kind of tried to talk us out of it a little bit, especially with two companies that we had to do it with totally separately. But that's what we did. We did an accelerated implementation, so we signed in the second half of September, and we went live with both companies on Jan 1, 2012. With professional services, we chose not to use a VAR. We felt like we had been dealing with NetSuite directly the whole time. They had a professional services team, and that just seemed to make the most sense, especially on this accelerated implementation schedule.
How do you look after the implementation now? Because you said you didn't have much IT staff then. Have you got people looking after NetSuite now?
We're fortunate to really grow a lot of that internally. We have one NetSuite administrator who actually at this Sweetworld 2018 here came 2 days early to take the final trainings and tests to become a certified NetSuite administrator, which is really valuable for us. So we have him, myself, and my NetSuite skills have grown, and I stay involved. I sit on the customer advisory board for wholesale distribution and their Sweet Commerce Advanced offering customer advisory board, so I try to stay involved that way. And then our network administrator also takes a hand in some of the light lifting with user administration and permissions and things like that. But our NetSuite admin does most of the deep diving on automation and workflows and safe searches and things like that.
You went through a rapid implementation, but what would you do differently?
Some of the biggest lessons we learned there in that process, the implementation with professional services was really organized and really regimented. It's like they gave you for the core pieces of the ERP, for the financials and the different site for each transaction, you had this big packet of questions that you had to answer, and then you'd return that to professional services. They'd walk you through every single process and every single piece of NetSuite and as it relates to your business. And you had daily 3-hour, 4-hour phone calls every single day going through this stuff just step by step. And a lot of what we learned along the way was, I think we started off trying to make NetSuite match how we did things. It's like, well, no, this is how we do it. But there are times where you had to step back and really have to find your business process and realize where you really don't want to try to mash NetSuite into your business process. You need to adapt your business process because it might be a little bit broken. And that's probably why you're going with something. You're trying to support your business for the future and take it to the next level. It's a good time to review those business processes. Every single business process that NetSuite touches, we would just define them better and had a little bit more of an open mind of, oh yeah, we need to adapt to that.
Do you think it helped because you went through the rapid implementation that you actually had to take on more NetSuite standard processes than you would have otherwise if you'd had a 9-month implementation process and had the opportunity to persuade them differently?
Absolutely. It's a good point, certainly. Professional services was persuasive. They were polite about it, but there were times where they were really, we highly recommend you don't try to go off in that direction. And so, yeah, I think the rapid implementation probably did lend itself to that a little bit.
Do you use any other software integrated into NetSuite now or during the implementation process?
It's changed and morphed over the years. I mean, certainly some key necessities to the business, EDI, so electronic data interchange for getting orders from larger key accounts. Integrating that into NetSuite is very important to us. Big Agnes probably has 25 different trading partners on EDI, and some of our largest customers, certainly that's how they send us orders and expect information back to us as we process the orders. So that's a big piece that we integrate. For a long time, it was e-commerce, but now we've since moved to Sweet Commerce Advanced and integrated or made that native to NetSuite, which is always my preference. If it can be solved natively, that most oftentimes could be the best path for us as opposed to trying to integrate something, though obviously in today's world of APIs, everything does integrate pretty well. Our WMS, our warehouse management software, is still a big piece today that we do externally and integrate with NetSuite. So we use a package called WOS, Warehouse Operating System, but you can find that one at warehousemobilesolutions.com, I believe it is. And we like that one because the interface for the actual floor worker on the warehouse works really well. So we're willing to have the separate system and integrate it because for the actual core fulfillment processes and receiving processes that we do in our warehouse, it works well for us. So that was an important one. There are a couple others. We use 3PLs for pick, pack, and ship in Canada and in all of Europe. We use Soligo, which is a middleware, to do that integration and pass the orders from NetSuite out to those 3PLs and then get the shipment information back. So that's another piece that we integrate.
Do you have operations outside the U.S.? I know you ship outside the U.S.
We don't. No, we don't. Not today.
Do you have any feedback on NetSuite and how it's been for you? Have you struggled in certain areas or has it excelled in certain areas and how has it helped your business?
Mostly it's been really great. The way it helps us, I guess in many ways, and some of them are a little bit obvious, but with a small IT staff and small expertise in-house, having a full cloud and SaaS is extremely important to us. On-prem solution is not in the consideration for us, and it wasn't even in 2011 when we made the decision. And that part's been great. Some of those common concerns that people have of account managers who are entering orders and maybe the latency, none of that really ever materialized as an actual. It was a concern ahead of time, but never materialized into a problem. The single source of truth for the business from the financials to bringing everything together, the CRM and fulfillment and everything into one system. We do all of our warranty and customer service management through it as well. That part's really positive for us and has been a good experience. The pace at which NetSuite grows and the features they add and the updates has been a real benefit for us, and the uptime and availability of it has always been great. Places where we struggle, luckily, a lot of the places where we struggle, we see tools coming down the road, which has always been great. So, I mean, one place today where we still find ourselves pulling a lot of data out of NetSuite and doing heavy analysis in Excel is some of the supply chain where it comes to forecasting and demand planning for ordering our items, for our production schedule for our items. Camping is a seasonal business, and the lead times on product is quite long. We place purchase orders anywhere 4 to 8 months in advance. It could be as long as 8 months from the time we place the purchase order to the time we expect to receive the product. So there's already a bit of magic that goes on in figuring out exactly what you need to be ordering. But looking at putting everything together from all your forecasts and all your pending sales to all the pending purchase orders and all the product coming in and figuring out what is that balance, where are you short, where are you heavy, and making a lot of those decisions is something that we still do a lot. NetSuite has a suite of analytics connect. It's their ODBC connector, so we can pull data out into Excel, and so we can write a bunch of queries within Excel and just open that sheet and update it or pull all the necessary information out, and then we really have to manipulate it still within Excel. And we'd love to have those answers real time in NetSuite all the time, as opposed to doing that two or three times a week manually. They announced here, and I've heard it before, the customer advisory board level on the supply chain toolbox that they're coming out with in the supply chain control tower. That's essentially what it aims to do. It's great. Help is coming. They've been talking about their unified search and reporting for a long time. I think the safe search and reporting capabilities in NetSuite is great, but it's not that every manager can do it. I'd love it if our sales manager could do it as opposed to coming to our staff. We're happy to do it in our department, but if he could be empowered to get the information out of the data he needs whenever he needs it, that'd be a real benefit. Hopefully that materializes.
You spoke about having your own brand. Do you manufacture or do you subcontract that out?
That's all done at a house. We're a wholesale distributor. We build the brand, but we don't do any manufacturing. On the Honeystinger side of the fence, we do own some raw materials, but we use co-packers to actually manufacture it.
What's your takeout from SuiteWorld?
Certainly the last 18 months or whatever it's been, 2 years, whatever it is, since Oracle bought NetSuite has been interesting. So it's interesting to see those changes. The changes in the product and the team has been very minimal. There's been no disruption there, but you're definitely starting to see them insert Oracle services into the offerings. I went to one breakout session that was comparing NetSuite's native WMS with the Oracle Cloud WMS, which they're doing a really tight integration. So yes, it's separate, but there's going to be an out-of-the-box bundled integration if you chose to use Oracle's WMS. So we're starting to see a lot of that, which is no surprise, and hopefully a benefit for customers. Obviously, Oracle serves much larger customers than where NetSuite aims to be. We'll see how many of those offerings are relevant.
Depends on the price point.
Yes, absolutely. They do a lot of touting of how much they're investing and how much they're going to be able to leverage. Certainly seems like there's a lot of truth to that. As Evan Goldberg said this morning in the keynote, they're getting out of the data center business. That makes total sense. Put that money elsewhere, hopefully. Put that money into the product. Put that money into R&D if you can leverage Oracle's cloud. That makes a lot of sense. Happy to see for a company as the size of NetSuite, there's really good access to the NetSuite team and employees. You get a lot of access, not just to your sales relationships, but the product people. Our NetSuite admin, Alex, this morning was doing a UX session with Nicholas. I forget where he lives, somewhere in Europe, Portugal maybe. He's managing the promotions engine for NetSuite. And we've already had at least two phone calls with him back in the office as they release a new version called Suite Promotions to go over exactly how we're using it and get input from him and really have a hand in giving feedback in an early stage where it can affect the roadmap of the product. And then as soon as SuiteWorld was on the calendar, he came back to Alex and said, I want to do this again, but in person. Let's do a proper UX session. And that stuff's really good.
In terms of your business and wholesale distribution, what are the challenges that you're facing over the next 1 to 3 years?
Some of it are those typical growing fast and managing cash flow and those kind of typical challenges. Right now for us, I think the challenges are globally. The challenges are outside of the United States. And as we said, we don't have any employees outside of the United States. The only infrastructure we have outside of the United States are fulfillment centers. And taking that next step, and we're right at the level where financially it can be justified, but it's complicated from the labor laws and everything. For a company our size, we're trying to learn all that, and we can see the customer demand is far greater than our infrastructure can provide today. We're seeing top-line growth, but we know it could be growing 4 or 5 times faster if we had that infrastructure. That's one of our biggest challenges, is really trying to take advantage of that and put all that in place to get to that next level.
Are you in Australia as well?
Yeah, Australia, New Zealand.
So how many countries do you operate in?
Offhand, I don't know the number, but the core ones, Australia and New Zealand are both great, Japan, China, Taiwan, and Hong Kong for our types of products. We don't expect those to ever be massive. France, Germany, the UK is a great market. Some of those other Benelux and some of the Scandinavian countries are really good. And then in South America as well, there's really healthy, especially on tourism. Peru can be a really good market because a lot of people from all over the world go there and do outdoor activities. So that ends up being another big market. Canada's a big market for us, although we hardly look at it as international. So those are the big ones. Really, our strategy has been to take some, like a core market like Japan, instead of trying to open up every little country that we could be selling in, we should be 10 times bigger than we are in Japan. Let's put that investment into Japan, that energy into growing that market. And so some of those core markets, certainly the UK and Germany and France, fall into that. So we really want to put the energy into being what we can be there, as opposed to trying to open up every single country that where there's a little bit of an opportunity.
Do you ship from the US or do you have local arrangements in each of those countries for those suppliers in those countries?
It varies. So we do our best to ship factory direct when we can out of Asia, and especially if we're going to Japan. We're trying to do everything ex-factory out of the Asian countries where we manufacture, predominantly China and Taiwan, to deliver those products without having to come all the way into the United States. Everything that goes into our distribution center in the EU is bonded, so there's no duties paid on the way in, and it can sit there. So if we have to ship from Japan, from our distribution center in Rotterdam, there's no duty penalty for us to do so. So it becomes a good option. Certainly the freight cost is there's no savings in freight costs from Rotterdam from the United States, surprisingly. European customers try to bring everything into that Rotterdam warehouse. It's a challenge to keep the right stock levels there. So one of those global challenges for us is we opened those both in the Canada 3PL and Rotterdam in January of 2017. Managing the stock levels there. A lot of times the stuff comes into the United States and then we're transferring it there, which is not a money-making proposition for us, but obviously we're investing in the market. So we take that hit and make sure that we keep the stock levels high and provide the product.
And in terms of wholesale distribution, in terms of the industry, what are the current challenges that the industry is facing, do you think? You're different because most wholesale distribution is US-centric in a sense, more than the majority of the customers, but you're global, so you must have a different set of challenges.
The biggest challenge is the marketplace is shifting so quickly. I mean, that's probably the biggest challenge for anyone trying to grow their brands, and especially in the outdoor industry.
In what way?
In the outdoor industry, traditional retail has been very core specialty backpacking shops or rock climbing shop or whatever it is. The growth of online and a lot of people have adapted, a lot of people haven't. Some of those retailers are doing very well in that space, but the number of actual independent specialty shops is shrinking. Amazon is growing very fast. Some of the larger ones, REI, Recreational Equipment Incorporated here in the United States, they're growing a lot, and a lot of times at the expense of smaller independent specialty shops. And then there's customer expectations on how they're getting their products. So some of them want to come direct to us. Well, really our main business is supporting our retailers. Our strategy has been we need to be wherever the customer is expecting to buy it. So a lot of customers are expecting to do that shopping on Amazon. So we need to be very competitive on Amazon for the sake of competing against everybody else. How do you do that right while still supporting the retail network? So Big Agnes actually doesn't sell to Amazon directly. We sell to retail partners, and we have a set of approved retail partners to sell through the Prime program on Amazon. We try to manage it closely. Certainly, we don't want it to become a price war, so we're doing everything we can. The UK has been extremely challenging. The market volatility there, one of the largest retailers, Blacks, went declared bankruptcy, got bought out of bankruptcy, liquidated a whole bunch of product. Gosh, this is going back probably 7 or 8 years. We're still feeling the ripple effects of that market. For a retailer in the UK to get full margin on camping gear became very difficult. So their desire to bring on a new, fairly unknown brand into the market was very small. It's becoming healthier there, but that changing landscape is probably our biggest challenge today. I think what's neat about a package like NetSuite or Cloud ERP and the whole space is a tool of that sophistication and size was so unapproachable and unavailable to companies our size 10 years ago probably. It's really changed the level of sophistication. For us, in the marketplace, we try to have the best product and we try to be the most competitive brand. And then I feel operationally in the back office, you need to have that same mentality. Like, we got to be easier to do business with. If someone wants to do EDI, we could be like, yeah, we know how to do EDI. No problem. Let's do EDI and whatever it is. And we really enjoy this space because it allows my team to compete just like it allows the product and the marketing to compete.
What excited you on Evan's keynote today?
The fact that search and reporting is in beta is very exciting. Some of the new UI stuff, those simple changes, but could be really helpful. So some of the UI changes coming to NetSuite could be really great for us.
Are you talking about intelligent forms?
The intelligent forms, and even simpler than that, being able to lock a column and scroll over. And he didn't specifically point it out, but you saw in a lot of those dashboards, there were tiles, which are just bigger icons and things like that. I sat through a couple of the dashboard breakout sessions here, and I think we can definitely use that stuff to make our staff more efficient. So a lot of that stuff's great, but a lot of that, the intelligence, the supply chain challenge I talked about earlier, how we're pulling all that data out to Excel, and Jim McGeever kind of alluded to the intelligence suite yesterday. I walked out of there saying, that's the spot where there's no question that machine learning could probably 90% of the time make a better decision for you or a faster decision for you on you should be ordering this much of this particular SKU on this date. You got to figure that it can take so many data points to put that together and give you a better answer than we're taking hours to do.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you. Nice talk to you.